Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. All right, everyone, welcome to Hungry for God one more time, where we reveal Jesus and introduce people to his presence so that they can have encounters and be transformed and be changed and healed and delivered and stuff. Before the week, before the day is over, we're going to honor our recent baptized, those who were baptized last week. We had a baptism at the beach last week. We had about, how much was it? About 15, was it 15 people? 14 people get baptized last week. Hallelujah. If that was you, just shout out. Just raise your hand. Lift up your hand. Some were kids. Come on. We had some were kids. We had some adults. Come on. And we're going to honor them towards the end of our service. All right. So let's jump into the word. Anybody excited about hearing from God today? I didn't get a chance to start our story, our true ghost story series properly last week. Well, the Holy Ghost had decided to start it the way he wanted to. And so for those of you that don't know, here at H4G, we teach in series. We came out of a series called You Can Be Healed last month. Anybody enjoyed that series? You Can Be Healed. It was phenomenal. We got to see a miracle or two during that series, and I believe that we just opened up that series. That was my first time actually teaching on healing anywhere, and it's funny because God uses me in the ministry of healing, and I realized like I never actually taught on healing before, which also lets us know that we oftentimes think that the only time God will heal somebody is if we're preaching healing, but you can be healed just by hearing about God's love for you. You can be healed just hearing about grace, the grace of God, and how God overlooks you of your sin and your shame. All those things release healing in your life. And so, but I decided to, I think one of the things is that people oftentimes hear messages and they don't know how to keep what God gives them because they don't have the supporting revelation. Everybody say revelation. They don't have the revelation of the word of God deep down on the inside of them to be able to keep what God gives them. So it's not enough just to lay hands on empty heads. If I don't fill you with the knowledge and the understanding of the word, you won't understand how to keep what God gives you. So somebody can lay hands on you and impart something to you that you'll lose by next week if you don't understand the revelation behind the revelation. Amen? All right. So, we are starting a new series this summer called True Ghost Stories. And we're spending the entire summer understanding the ghost. Look at your neighbor and ask, are you afraid of the ghost? Are you afraid of the ghost? We're talking about the Holy Ghost. And why are we going to talk about the Holy Ghost? I believe he is the most important person in the earth right now. We're going to break a lot of religious stereotypes and myths that circulate the topic of the Holy Spirit, because for so many people, the Holy Ghost is still referred to as an it. People think about him as goosebumps you feel in church or when somebody is singing real good. We reduce them to chills that we might feel. We get him confused with the descriptions that the Bible gives of him. How the Bible says he's like a dove and he's like a wind. He's like wind. He's like fire. And so we kind of think that he is fire or he is dove. He is a dove or he is wind. But those are just descriptions of his operations. right? How he personifies himself, it may come in those ways. And so what we're going to do is we're going to peel back the veil that so many believers have about understanding who the Holy Spirit is, because while we understand him to be the power of God, for many churches, he is purposeless because they don't understand what he wants to achieve, what he wants to accomplish in us. He's here more. He's here not just to make us dance, not just to make us run, not just to make us fall on the floor. He is here to transform us into the image of the Son of God. In fact, the Bible reveals to us that you don't even have the right to call yourself a Christian without first receiving the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Ghost. So you got denominations that actually totally replace the Holy Spirit with the Holy Bible. Come on. And we think that because we got the Bible, we don't need the Holy Ghost. But how many of you realize this Bible wasn't actually even published until the 1600s? So what did they do with before that? What did the early church have in 40 AD and 50 AD? All they had, first and foremost, was the Old Testament to refer to, but the Old Testament did not provide a reference for the new thing God was doing since the resurrection of Jesus. So they did not live by what they had, by what the Bible said, because they didn't have a Bible yet. But what they had to live by was the revelation that Jesus said, I'm going to ascend after I resurrect. After I ascend, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to the church. And with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be able to do what I did and greater works than these shall you do. So if we don't understand our need for the Holy Ghost, we're going to turn church and Christianity into something it was not designed to be. Come on. So let's open up our Bibles. Let's jump straight to it. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 4. This is Christ Jesus preparing the apostles for his ascension. In verse 4, he says this. And being assembled, and you have it, say amen. Amen. Good. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart or leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John the Baptist truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The word baptized means to be immersed. It means to be submerged. It means to be dipped into something else. The word baptize in the Greek culture looked, there were two different images that people had in their minds when they heard the word baptize back in Jesus' day. One was a ship that was shipwrecked in the ocean. When something was shipwrecked in the ocean, a ship or a boat that was immersed, they would say that ship was baptized. Another picture they would have of baptism was that if they had a bucket or of dye or a cup of dye, and they would take cloth and they would dip the cloth into the dye to change the color of it, they would say that they were baptizing that cloth. And so in both of those images, what you will find is that there must be total immersion or submersion in order for something to be baptized. That's why, for example, we don't call baby dedications baptisms. When you sprinkle water on a baby or put oil on a baby, that's not a baptism. Because to be baptized, you must be totally submerged or immersed in something. So When the Bible talks about baptisms, it's talking about that we're going to be immersed or emerged in something. Now, we understand what baptism of water looks like because that's a very easy picture. We simply take people in a pool of water, we dip them, submerge them in water in the name of Jesus as he instructed us to do, and then we bring them out. And so if that's what water baptism looks like, then what does Holy Spirit baptism look like? What is the Holy Ghost baptism supposed to look like? Just if we were to think with me, basically it must mean that there must be an encounter, because once again, when that ship is shipwrecked and when that cloth is dipped in dye until the entire appearance of it is changed, we can see a difference before something is baptized and after it's baptized. Right? So I can't say I baptized this in red dye if it still looks white. I cannot say I was baptized in water today and then you see me and I'm dry. Why? Because my external appearance changed. Something is different from before I was baptized to now. And so if we have Christians today who will say, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but then they have no external evidence. There is no visible sign that they can actually point to, or others can point to say that there is a difference. There is a change. We can see the difference when this person got filled with the Holy Ghost, when this person got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, the term being filled with the Holy Ghost is used interchangeably with being baptized with the Holy Ghost. So I want you guys, we're going to learn all those things as we keep going. But let's just keep reading for the sake of time. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 8. And look at what Jesus says is going to be the sign or the evidence that a person has been filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost. What did he say? Verse 8. But you shall receive what?
Power.
Everybody say power.
Power.
You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what's the sign or the evidence that a person has received the Holy Ghost?
Power.
Power. Everybody say power one more time.
Power.
Now, I find it very interesting that there's a popular TV show out called Power. And the star in that show is called Ghost. I find it very interesting. I don't know what that quite means prophetically yet. I don't know. But I am overtaken by the fact of how many people are so intrigued by this show. That if, in my opinion, it's filled with a lot of ungodly things that you don't want to be baptized into. Somebody said, I don't got to watch Power. I see Power every time I look in the mirror. But Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. How many of you want power in your life?
Amen.
I'm not talking about a TV show. I'm talking about the real deal.
Yes.
Now, what's so interesting is this. Jesus told them, look at this. I want you to pay attention. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And then when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. All right? Now, these men, as we learn, we're going to learn. Oh, let's just go to Acts 2. Let's just jump to Acts 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or the Spirit gave them the power to. All right? Now, this is the original ghost story in the book of Acts, right? Because I believe that after this series, you guys are going to have your own ghost stories. You all are going to have your own encounters, your own experiences with the Holy Ghost. That's going to be transformational. That's going to be pinnacle. You're going to mark this day, and you're going to remember the day the Holy Ghost came, the day the Holy Spirit changed me, the day the Holy Spirit transformed me and gave me power to speak in new tongues, the day the Holy Ghost gave me the ability to be set free from my addictions, from my struggles, whatever it is. You're going to know the stories of how God used you to bring healing and to bring deliverance to other people. Come on. How God used you to work miracles. How God used you to lead other people to him. See, every God says that you are his living epistle. And he wants to use you just like he used these men and women. One thing you need to understand about the people that God used was that he didn't use perfect people. God didn't use people who lived upright lives. We know that these men he called the fish. He called Peter, who was a fisherman. He called Matthew, who was a tax collector. These are people who did not have prestigious jobs, and these were not people who the world respected and admired. God took people who were considered nobodies, people who were considered insignificant, people that the world overlooked. These were the people that God selected. Very ordinary people who had everyday jobs, and he got a hold of them, and he decided to turn their lives upside down so that they can change the world.
Yeah.
You see, God didn't just look for people who had, you know, 40-hour work week, and just people who had the time to be used. God used people that had real lives.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's important that you understand that. What the Holy Ghost wants to do is unleash the power of everybody. God wants to take nobodies and turn them into somebodies. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Very popular scripture for most of you. The scripture says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come on. The Bible says that God has chosen you. He's chosen this generation to be his special people. It means that God will take the ordinary and he will make them extraordinary. You see, I love the fact that the Bible says that he calls us not just a chosen generation, but a royal priesthood. To do his job. Now, if you got to understand what the priesthood was all about. In the Old Testament, the priests were people that God chose and God selected to be used for his service. That he set them apart. They were ordinary people. And he just simply said, these are my people. You're going to work for me. and they called them priests. And so we hear the word priest and we think about people with collars. But in actuality, the Bible says that we have all become priests in the New Testament. That you are now a royal priesthood. So what does that mean for you? In the Old Testament, priests were set apart for God's special purposes. When I was a gym teacher, one of my strategies of regulating my classroom was that I would find the student that gave the most trouble and gave them a special job. Any good teachers know what I'm talking about? I remember my very first day of teaching, there was I had a class who didn't know I was the teacher because I started teaching at 22, and I was teaching high school kids. I had kids that were 18, 19 years old in my class. We could have hung out after school. All right? So I looked like them. So they didn't even know I was the teacher standing in front of the class my first day. And so there was a young lady who walked in late, and the class was talking. I couldn't get their attention yet. And then she walks in, and she kind of sees what's going on. And then she came to me. She said, "Are you the teacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "What's your name?" I said, "Mr. Samuel." She said, "Everybody shut up. Mr. Samuel wants y'all attention." Apparently, this girl was very popular in the school, and everybody respected her. So everybody shut up and listened to what I had to say after she walked in. So it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, I'm going to have this girl speak for me in class. So I said, "What's your name?" She told me her name. I said, "You're going to be my special monitor." She said, "What do you want me to do?" I gave her the job description. She made sure that class was straight for the rest of the year. She made my job easier. How? Because by her receiving a special position in my class, it caused her to step up, to take more responsibility. She treated that class like it was her very own. You see? And this is what we have to realize. When the Bible says that God has chosen you, see, I didn't have to choose her, but I chose her to be able to help me accomplish my mission. And by giving her a special job, she treated it like it was her own. She treated that class like it was her own. I never had to worry again. With my son, Preston, he's 2 years old. And it's amazing to me that if I was to say, hey, I don't know if he's up, but I don't want to say it. He's sleeping? All right, good. If I was to say, Preston, come throw this in the garbage for me, Preston will run up here, grab that, and run all the way to the back, put in the garbage, and go right back. Why? Because when you give a person a job and you're in a position of authority, it makes them feel special. It makes them feel like they are somebody. It makes them feel like they have a special place in that person's eyes. And what you need to begin to realize is that when God sees you, he doesn't just want you, he didn't just save you so that you can sit in church. God saved you, and then he says, now I got a special job for you to do. I have a mission with your name on it. And if you accept, I will give you the power to do it. That's what it means to be a chosen generation, to be a royal priesthood. And what God used to do to the people of it, to the priests in the Old Testament, they would be set apart, and then what he would do is the people would come and they would take oil. They would take oil, and then the people will anoint them with oil. They will pour out oil on them and in front of everybody, so everyone would know that this person is a priest. They are consecrated and they are set apart. But what the oil represented was more than just oil. It represented the Holy Spirit. It represented the Holy Ghost. And so because in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost didn't live in everybody and he didn't come upon everyone, the priests who received the outpouring of the oil, there was a sign that these people were consecrated and sanctified for God's special purposes. No one else can do that job but the priests. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not just the special people or the priests. Because the priesthood in the Old Testament was also a bloodline. It was a certain people. You couldn't just step into priesthood. So in the New Testament, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Come on, all flesh. Everyone, male, female, doesn't matter. Everyone who wants me can receive me. So God says, He's gonna set you apart, but instead of just pouring oil on us, he's going to pour the Holy Ghost directly on us. He's going to pour his spirit out on us. And then we are now anointed for purpose. You see, and this is, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Because there are so many people today in the church who are walking around wondering why they haven't been filled yet. I don't know why God hasn't filled me. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I don't know why he hasn't baptized me yet. Some people question the need to why they should be filled. But I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say. I want you to write this down. Say, number one, power always has a purpose. Power always has a purpose. And we learned on Tuesday night, if you were here at God study, we got into this a little bit. That power turns things on. Power activates things. Power enables. Power generates strength. Power makes something able to accomplish something. And so on Tuesday, I gave the example that without power, created things are dead. So, for example, when your phone dies, we say that our phone is dead. How? Because it lost what? It lost all of its power. When something is created, it needs power in order for it to operate. When the power leaves, we call it dead. And so something that's created that has no power is dead. A watch that has no power is dead. An AC that has no power is dead. A car that has no power is dead. A church that has no power is dead. A person that has no power is dead. All right? So watch this. Power always has a purpose. Power precedes the fulfillment of purpose. Because a created thing can accomplish what it was created to do unless we give it the power that it needs. So a cell phone cannot accomplish what it was created to do without power. The church of Jesus Christ cannot accomplish what it was left here or sent here to do without the power. That's why Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive what? Power from on high. Come on. Now watch this. God says that you are his chosen people, his special priesthood. And just like how in the Old Testament, the priest needed to be anointed for the purpose of service or the purpose of ministry or the purpose of work, God also wants to take ordinary people and do extraordinary things in their lives by setting them apart and anointing them with his spirit so that they can do his job today. And watch this. Acts 10:38 gives us a perfect example of what this looks like. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So I want you to know something about Jesus, because, again, as Christians, we say, I want to be like Jesus. And we used to walk around with these WWJD rubber bands or wristbands saying, you know, what would Jesus do? And it was cute and trendy. But the reality is, we cannot do what Jesus did if we are not anointed like how Jesus was anointed. Because Jesus did what he did, being anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power. So you can't be a witness of Jesus. You cannot be a representative of Jesus if you deny the Holy Ghost a position in your life or place of influence in your life so that he can empower you, mobilize you, energize you to do the same things Jesus did. And we think that we can reduce Christianity to things that we can do in our own strength. So we'll be like, well, I'm not casting out devils. I'll leave that for somebody who's more anointed. I'm not going to lay hands on the sick. I'll leave that for Benny Hinn and them. And so we kind of think like, well, there's different anointings. Somebody has an anointing to heal. Somebody has an anointing to do something else. But what do I have the anointing to do? But watch this. The Bible doesn't tell us that there are different anointings. We are anointed with the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that's in T.D. Jakes is in you.
Yes.
The same T.D. Jakes, the same Holy Spirit in Benny Hinn is in you.
Amen.
The same Holy Ghost that's on me is in you.
Amen.
So it's not the differences of anointings. Let's go back to it. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about being able to do good. See, we kind of even said, you know, if I just do charity and I do good things and I just serve people, that's okay. But don't you know the Bible says you need to be anointed to even do that? You should be anointed in your charity. You should be anointed in your generosity. And all it means is that God wants to be the power behind all that you do in this life. That's what it means to be a Christian. I'm anointed with the same Spirit that was in Jesus, and I can do the same works that Christ did.
Hallelujah.
When you're anointed, you can give a cup of water to somebody in his name, and they can be delivered from it.
Amen.
When you're anointed, your words go beyond just encouragement to prophecy. And has the power to alter a person's destiny.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You can speak words of hope, but it doesn't just remain as hope. It becomes transformational.
Yes.
Because your words now become spirit and life.
Yes.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
How many of you want to be anointed to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way? Come on, you can be anointed in business. You can be anointed at teaching. Your kids, you can be anointed in producing music. Come on. God wants you to be anointed in everything you do, in fashion, whatever you're called to do. Parenting, you can be anointed in that.
Amen.
So the Bible says that you are his chosen generation, you are royal priesthood, and you are his special people. I want you to write this down, number two. The purpose of power is ministry. The purpose of power is ministry. God is not giving you his anointing and giving you his power just so that you can look cute and come to church. You are anointed to work. You are anointed for service. Come on. You are anointed to bless other people. You are anointed to change other people's lives. Number three. Until you have a heart to minister, power remains purposeless. Until you have a heart to minister, power becomes purposeless. See, and this is what I found out the secret to getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. God said to me, before you teach about my outpouring, I need you to speak to people about their importance. Tell them how important they are. Tell them to realize that I can accomplish my work on the earth without them. And let them know that they don't have to be perfect. You know, God only uses imperfect people. Do you know that? Because he has nobody else to use. Perfection is not the prerequisite to power. Religion will tell you that. Religion will tell you because you got to live holy enough and righteous enough. And if you don't got it all together, then God can't fill you with his spirit. No, because he needs to fill you with his spirit to get you right. He needs to put his spirit in you so that he can empower you to live right.
Yes.
Come on, you don't got the power to live right without him.
That's right.
See, he's not a reward for good behavior. He's the one empowering you to live right.
Hallelujah.
So here's the deal, though. The reason why God won't pour out his spirit on some of you is because you don't have a heart to serve yet.
Come on.
You want to be served. No, once you come into his kingdom and you realize that who you are, you're his royal priest, you're his chosen generation, you are his holy nation, he's holy means set. All those things are saying the same thing. It just means you're special. To be chosen, to be a priest, and to be holy, it all means to be set apart for a special purpose. So he says that you are set apart for a special purpose, and he wants to anoint you, just like he anointed Jesus, to do good and to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Isaiah 61, Jesus said, or Jesus quoted it in Luke 4, Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, because he has anointed me to do. To preach good news, to heal all those who are brokenhearted, to set the captives free. You are anointed to do something. So what our churches have done is we've left the work of ministry for the set man of the house. They set apart. Instead of the entire people all being set apart, a holy nation, we got the holy professionals, the clergy, and we come to see them do the work of ministry. No, that's not how it works. Notice what the Holy Spirit waited for in Acts 2. The Bible says, and on the day of Pentecost, the people were all on one accord. They were all sitting in one place. When the people were unified, because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just anoint one person. He doesn't just want to give his spirit to just a few. He wants everyone to be set apart, everyone to know that we are all called by God, that we are all chosen by God. And then what he wants to do is he wants to pour out his spirit on all.
Yes.
Not some, but all. And if we can all get into the same frame of mind about this thing, that I'm not coming to church just to play church. I've graduated from just coming to church, waiting for a word for me and me and me so that I can go back out and do me. No, I want a word that's going to empower me to the point where I can be a blessing to other people. Come on. So you got to realize how important you are to the plans of God. You are somebody to God. You are extremely important to the purposes of God. God needs you. No one is insignificant in the church. Not one person sitting in this room is insignificant. Every single one of you have a part to play in the kingdom of God. God has a special plan for your life that he needs to anoint you to do. And I believe in this day and hour, while it's not just thank you, while you're going to find one or two or three people that are probably going to be more passionate, more zealous, but I'm telling you, God is waiting for a church. He's waiting for a church of people who are going to collectively say, yes, use me. Yes, God, send me. Yes, God, fill me. What? Not just for my own plans, not for my own agendas, not just for to meet my needs, but God, bless me to the point where I can be a blessing. Come on. God is waiting for a church to give him a yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus could have been a one-man show. But he didn't. He went and he found 12 Who will be willing to walk with him? He poured out his spirit on all 12 of them so that they can do the works they did. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll give you these last 2 points and I'm done. What was my last, what did I just say? Oh, that was the extra one. Until you have a heart to minister, power becomes purposeless. All right, watch this. Number four, last two, number four. The anointing becomes stagnant when you don't minister. The anointing becomes stagnant when you don't minister. I learned this years ago. The key to keeping the anointing is giving it away. The key to keeping the anointing is giving it away. Because you're anointed for work and purpose and ministry. If you don't get up to work or make yourself available to work, there's no reason for you to be anointed. The way the anointing keeps flowing in my life is because I keep finding ways to give it away. I post a lot on Instagram and Facebook. Why? Because I want to give what I got away so God can pour more into me. You got to find a platform and find a way to share what God gives you. Anything God gives you, you got to find a way to give it away or you're going to lose it. It's going to leak out of you. You can't hold on to it. Because the anointing is not for you. So God is going to release that to somebody else that's going to do something with it. I'm going to end it with this. This is why this is this very, very, very important thing, because a lot of our churches got a bad habit of doing this. Somebody messes up in the church, and then we take their position away or take their responsibility away, and we sit them down. Put them in the back of the church, and they have to sit for a year, 2 years, 5 years, until they are restored. Everybody I know who that happened to, I've never seen them restored healthily. It doesn't work. I'm telling you why it doesn't work. Because the anointing is strengthened when a person is being used. Look at how Jesus restored Peter. 50 days after Peter denied, 40 days or 50 days, 50 days after Peter denied Jesus. Peter was depressed. Peter was on the verge of suicide, I believe, just like Judas. He was sad because he knew he broke God's heart. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, it was that same Peter that Jesus chose to pour out his spirit on to preach and lead 3,000 people to salvation. He didn't restore Peter by keeping Peter sitting on a bench.
Come on.
He gave Peter an opportunity.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. See, this is the secret. You got to be used. Don't give yourself a break in ministry. You got to learn how to balance ministry, not take breaks from it. You give yourself I try to give myself a break one time. I said, God, don't use me on the keyboard. I'm not going to play. Because I was messing up. I felt like I was messing up in my life. And I tried to put myself on a timeout. I said, God, don't use me. And I remember sitting down in that front row, and they were asking me. They said, you're not going to play today? This is some years ago in my dad's church. I said, nah. Now I'm thinking I'm being holy.
Right, yes.
I said, nah, God, I'm just going to give myself some time with God. And right before service is starting, I just feel the Holy Spirit on me, like, go and play. Go and play. Go and play. I'm like, nah, I was bad last week. I'm not going to go. And right before the service started, I just said, let me just get up and play. And let me tell you something. That was one of the most powerful services I had ever seen happen. So I cried after that service. Because I'm like, God, how can you use me? And I felt like I was so bad.
Yeah.
I felt like I messed up too bad. Why did you use me like that? That was when God began to teach me about grace.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He just simply said to me, he said, I know your weaknesses.
Hallelujah.
Before I called you, I already known you. You see, God already knows what you're weak at. He knows what mistakes you're going to make a year from now, 5 years from now, but he still called you. And God does not excuse you because of your weaknesses. He doesn't excuse you because of your weaknesses. Which means that I can't make excuses for my weaknesses. He knows them out. He knows what I'm not good at, and he knows what I'm good at. But guess what, church? We all have weaknesses. We all have areas we come short in. But that's not what qualifies you to be used by God. The Bible says, you didn't choose him. He chose you. Come on, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So you got to get past the hang-ups of your own mistakes and your own frailties, your own weaknesses. God knows you got them. He uses ordinary people. But my point is this. We have to learn how to balance ministry and not take a break from ministry, because the anointing weakens when you become stagnant.
That is so true.
If you want to keep the anointing fresh in your life, you got to keep making yourself available. Come on, who am I speaking to? You have to keep making yourself available. Don't sit yourself down. I don't know what you're waiting for. Don't sit yourself down. Don't count yourself out. Don't say, no, God, don't use me. Use somebody else. Why not you? Why not you? Come on. God has a special plan for your life. He has a special purpose for your life. You're never going to feel fulfilled. You're never going to feel accomplished. I don't care how many degrees you get in the world. I don't care how many positions you get in this world. Until you know what you were created to do by Almighty God, that's where your fulfillment comes from. And then it gives meaning to your degrees. Then that gives meaning to your positions. Then you know what you're called to do. I'm called to introduce heaven into my sector and my sphere of influence. I'm here to bring heaven in my job. I'm here to bring heaven to my company. Come on. Whatever you're designed to do, your purpose always has a high calling attached to it. That's why he gives you power from on high. Hallelujah. So you want to know why you probably haven't got filled yet? It's because you were still keeping it all. You were worried about it being all about you. But the minute you turn your heart to say, God, send me, use me, whatever you want me to do, then he says, I have a vessel I can fill. Hallelujah. Does God have any vessels that he can fill today? Hallelujah. So what I want you guys to do, I'm not going to share anymore. I just want you guys to stand with me. I didn't give you five. I'm a God study for that. Yeah. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to realize this, right? So you're a cup, you're a vessel. And God wants to fill you. God wants to pour out his anointing on you, but he is only going to pour out his spirit on those who simply want to be used. Just like how I took my student and pulled her to the side, and I used that all throughout my school years. And I find that person that was willing. There were some who said no, and I didn't use them. And there were others who were willing to say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to just open up the door so to bring out the equipment, I'll do it. And I would give them a key. Say, this is my key. Nobody else can get in here but you. If something is missing in there, I'm going to blame you. Right? This is the key to the gym. I'm going to give you the opportunity to be responsible for that. Those kids will protect that with their lives. I said, my mom didn't even give me a key. And I would say, no, I believe in you. And they didn't do everything right. Sometimes there will be sometimes one or two persons will go out and still try to sneak the ball out when I'm not looking. And I'll take it from them. They'll apologize, and I'll say, all right, and I'll give it back to them. Because I was trying to teach them responsibility. When God pours out His Spirit on you, you now also have a responsibility to steward what God gives you. You have a responsibility to protect and to guard what God pours into you, because the anointing is special. The anointing is special. He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, but He doesn't. He waits for the people who are ready. He waits for the people who are going to guard it with their lives, because this is world-changing stuff we're talking about. Yeah. We're not playing patty cake anymore in church. Come on. We're not coming here just to dance. We're here to change the world. Come on. How many of you want to go to nations and impact nations? Come on, that's what the anointing. The anointing, He said, I will give you power, and I'm going to have you start in Jerusalem, locally. Then you go to Samaria. What? New Jersey. That's across state lines. Then I have you go to the uttermost parts, all around the world.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you say yes to God, you don't know where He might take you.
Come on.
But always know that He's going to take you farther than you could ever take yourself. So with that in mind, I just want you to just make yourself available. You're not too young, you're not too old.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.